So today, Christmas Eve, today we're going to celebrate a birth. But you can't have a birth without a conception. So this morning we get the story about the conception. And 9 hours from now, not 9 months, but 9 hours from now, we get the birth. Births bring families together. And when they get together, families tell family stories, which might be kind of embarrassing to those who are present. Although little children usually love to hear stories about their own birth over and over and over. Christmas is all about the family stories of the family into which we're adopted at our baptism. It's a retelling of our family stories. It's a story about a working class girl named Mary and her upper middle class cousins, Elizabeth and Zachariah, and their babies. Their stories get connected when the angel Gabriel tells Mary about the conception of John the Baptist for Elizabeth and Zachariah. Zachariah was given the news by the angel also while he was engaged in leading worship at the temple. He was a priest serving on the high holy days when the angel tells him that like Sarah and Abraham, he and his elderly wife Elizabeth will have a child and they're to call him John, which was not a family name. Zechariah was so incredulous that he became dumbstruck. Sarah may have laughed when the angel told her and Abraham that at age of around 100, they were going to have a baby. But Zechariah, rather than laughing, was rendered mute because pious and religious as he was, he found it impossible to believe that God could do the impossible. Meanwhile, Mary, an uneducated female whose theological understanding would have been completely dismissed, Mary, when the angel explains that God is indeed going to do the impossible, Mary agreed to cooperate with God's plan. And the sign she was given was that of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Her response was to get up and go see her cousin Elizabeth and share the camaraderie of their miracle pregnancies. When the women saw each other, the unborn John jumped, and Elizabeth immediately understood about this plan for their babies. And Mary got it too and sang her song that we call the Magnificat, which the choir's going to sing, and then we're going to sing it after communion. Mary ended up staying with Elizabeth, probably for mutual support, since they're the only ones that understood what was going on. Mary stayed until just about when John was to be born. And when he was born, as the dad, Zechariah got to name the baby. And he had to write it down because, remember, he was mute. He wrote down, "His name is John," caving finally to the angel. And then he was able to speak, and he too sang a song, "Blessed be the God of Israel," which we're also going to sing today at the offering time. It all worked out fine. But underlying all these stories, before we get today to look back and see it all worked out fine, before that, there was a lot of anxiety. No wonder the angel starts out the message to each time with, "Don't be afraid." And not just because there's an angel suddenly standing before you with glowing eyes and huge wings, but because pregnancy and childbirth, even today, in stable two-parent family homes with health insurance, those things still bring anxiety and fears because there's so many unknowns, so many things that could go wrong. But new babies also bring hope for the future. The songs of Mary and Zechariah and the exclamations of Elizabeth voice their hopes for all humanity that will come about in the births of John and Jesus. Hopes and fears. Hopes and fears. the hopes and fears of all the years. Christmas tends to bring out our hopes and fears too. We have hopes for joy, especially the joy of being with those we love, seeing them, whether they're friends here at church or family from afar. And we have fears of things not being perfect, or missed connections, or bad weather conditions, or forgotten special foods, or conflicts of scheduling. What if things get out of my control? And we have those hopes and fears around global issues, too, that are beyond our control. North Korea, refugees, civil wars in Africa, white supremacists in Europe and here, opioids and terrorists, fire and flood, refugees in camps and on seas. This world needs a savior. This world needs a savior. We need a savior. And thus it has always been. And so politicians and those hungry for power will offer themselves to us as saviors. When the Roman Emperor Augustus Caesar arrived, his birth announcement went, "Good news to all, for to you has come this day a savior who is the Christos, the anointed one, your Lord." Does it sound familiar? The world wants a savior who will come like Augustus with powerful victory to force everyone to behave. No wonder Mary, knowing her own status, is perplexed, confused, and troubled by the angel's words. She's hearing that God's going to turn her world upside down and intervene in the path of her life big time, never mind the rest of the world. Hey, do you think God would ever do that to you? Has God ever intervened in a major way in your life? For me, yeah, totally, lots of times. Most recently, the biggest probably seminary. But how about the lives of your friends or your family? Or here in the church, God interrupted the lives of Mary, Joseph, Zachariah, and Elizabeth for the sake of the world. Do you think that now God says, "Well, okay, done that, did my thing, been there, I'm out of here, leave it to them, they can take care of it"? Do you think God has withdrawn? Or is God still interrupting people's lives for the sake of the world? And if so, then what about you? Is God trying to interrupt your life? And what about this congregation? Is God trying to interrupt us? If so, then you may notice there are wonderful things that God wants to accomplish through us. So many that you and I actually couldn't begin to count them all. And if you become conscious of them and admit them, then you're going to be like Mary, perplexed, confused, and perhaps a bit troubled, because God has noticed you. God favors you, and God has wondrous things to accomplish through you. Wow! So here's your challenge today. Imagine one concrete place where you can make a difference, where God may be calling you to be at work in you. Between now and the end of the Christmas season, January 7th, okay? It's 2 weeks from today. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and conceive in you a plan, a call. Don't be dismayed if the thing that comes to mind also brings a lot of objections, telling you how impossible that thing would be for all kinds of reasons that make it easy to dismiss the change as wishful thinking. Well, it'd be nice if this happened, but, you know, that's impossible. So now think about it again and imagine the impossible. Think of a tiny but concrete step that you can make in the direction of making that change happen this Christmas season. Never mind if in the overall scheme of things that change looks impossible. Just think of one little step you could do to bring about a change that God might be calling you to make. And now, say, as you hold that action in your mind, hold it there and say, along with faithful Mary, say, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord." God has called you to do wonderful things. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.